Well, I guess we're going to talk about a big fat Colts win today, everybody. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and making us your number one listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is Jake Arthur, joined alongside Zach Hicks, of course. You know the two of us from horseshoehuddle.com. Well, this was unexpected, guys. The Colts pull off the improbable upset on Sunday, beating the Kansas City Chiefs 20-17 here at Lucas Oil Stadium. That's why I'm dressed like this. That's why I'm in a weird bunker room right now. We'll go ahead and give you guys our instant reactions, hot takes, grievances, etc., all about this one. So the Colts jumped out to an early 7-0 lead, which in itself is rare. Kansas City then went up 14-10 before the half. And then the Colts finally caught up to them. Matt Ryan to Jelani Woods from 12 yards out to take that 20-17 lead with 24 seconds left. Then just a couple plays later, Rodney McLeod, he sealed the deal with an interception with the very nice assist from Stephon Gilmore. We obviously didn't see this one coming, Zach. What are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, no, you know, the only victory lap that we can kind of take from this past week, because it was a very negative week for us on this show, and rightfully so. I think all of you guys listening can agree that we had the right to be negative this whole week going into this game. But I think the only thing that we could take victory lap wise is we did say a couple times on this show this week that Frank Reich and this Colts team, they are at their best when their backs are against the wall. When they need the improbable to happen, they typically do a really good job. And they came out in this game, and I'm not going to say it looked pretty. It was an ugly, ugly game, super ugly game, especially, you know, the Chiefs committing a lot of mistakes, the Colts offensive line not holding up for a majority of the game. Ugly, ugly game. But the Colts still hung in there against one of the best teams in all of football. And honestly, my biggest takeaway is the defense, man. This Colts defense came to play, and I did not see this coming at all, because I really thought after those first 2 weeks, you know, we saw Trevor Lawrence have a lot of success. We saw Davis Mills in week one have some success up the seams as well. And we didn't really see this Colts pass rush doing much at all the first 2 weeks. They came out today and they look like a very, very different unit. The defense was very diverse in how it attacked Pat Mahomes. The pass rush looked really good for the whole game. Like, even if they weren't getting sack after sack after sack, they were getting a lot of constant pressure. Mm-hmm. And then I think a lot of the star players finally stepped up. Like we said, Yannick Ngakoue had a sack and a couple pressures. DeForest Buckner looked like DeForest Buckner again. Stephon Gilmore had the huge pass breakup that turned into an interception at the very end of the game. They had a couple other really nice plays. The Colts star players really stepped up on defense, and they held this Chiefs offense, you know, down enough for the Colts offense to finally put it away late. So I like Frank Reich said, a great team effort outside of the offensive line, I think. Outside of the offensive line, great team effort today. And the Colts really fought for this one. They had a couple gifts go their way late, but they definitely fought for this one, and it's a great win. They needed this win going into week four against the Titans.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, neither of us thought this win was coming, but we did say there was a roadmap for it to happen. And one of the biggest things was they were going to have breaks go their way, and they were going to have to take advantage of – it's too small for that.
No, somebody on Twitter said we have you wearing the tie and I'm sleeveless. Just the perfect match.
It really is.
That's it actually speaks balance to our personalities. You're the more professional one, and I'm just here for the vibes.
I have to be to keep it up. But no, I mean, they took advantage of all these Kansas City mistakes. You know, the first score of the game came on a Sky Moore muffed punt. They took advantage of that. There were some untimely penalties. There was the Chris Jones penalty that kept the final drive alive. Yep. There was interception at the end. There was that weird fake field goal that went
and
nowhere.
And the missed field goal. Kickers rock. Kickers are awesome. Kicks. We love it. I know. Thank it's you, such, kickers and special
it's
teams.
Such sweet poetry for you that part of what won this game was a missed field goal and missed extra point. So definitely two big things there. And then, like you said, defensively, big round of applause for Gus Bradley. And, you know, we're going to play both sides of the ball. Like we trashed the defense last week. Like everything was bad. And we were on that too. And kudos to Gus Bradley for, you know, changing things up and putting things to Taylor against a game plan of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and not just forcing the same single high stuff.
Yes.
Cause coming into this game, I saw a thing. This Colts defense has been playing far and away the most single high safety looks in the league, and Patrick Mahomes feasts on that. Mm-hmm. And you know that, like you said, the pass rush was good. They only got one sack, but they were disrupting Mahomes and flushing him out of the pocket throughout the game. The coverage was good because, you know, Mahomes is just like an absolute wizard when it comes to plays breaking down and making right. all the random stuff happen. But they stayed tight in coverage, and they really did a good job sticking to those guys. And like you said, the stars played like the stars. And we also – some of this stuff happened because of injury, but we saw Isaiah Rodgers finally. And why he maybe didn't have any, like, enormous plays, he did his job. I thought he played well. It was just good to him get him out there. Dio Odengbo had a couple nice run plays. Just, man, all around.
Ronnie McLeod. If we're talking different guys who – Ronnie McLeod stepped in uh-huh. as a starter this week, oh, yeah. played a lot of the snaps, and he looked really good out there. And then Rodney Thomas, I mean, if we're talking about a game-changing, game-saving play, I mean, that pass breakup on that deep pass towards the end of the first half, mm-hmm. I mean, if he doesn't make that play – this game is a completely different story, and the Chiefs probably run away with it in the second half. So, yeah, a lot of unsung heroes, guys who didn't really play much in the first 2 weeks really stepped up on the defensive side of the ball for the Colts. And honestly, on the offensive side too, Alec Pierce mm-hmm. and Jelani Woods, two guys who people were, you know, we always hear people going, oh, Alec Pierce, the biggest bust or whatever. Jelani Woods never sees the field. But now we're here in week three, and Alec Pierce, I think, had over 50 yards receiving, and Jelani Woods had two touchdowns on two catches and the game-winning touchdown. So both those guys really came to play. Honestly, right now we'd feel pretty good about this Colts team if the offensive line were just a little bit better. that's really it. And so we're talking negatives and grievances. That's pretty much where it's going to be. But hats off to the defense. And honestly, again, Gus Bradley coming into the season, I thought, was getting a lot more hate than what he deserved. I thought he was, although he did stick with that single high, I thought he was a very impressive defense coordinator. So I think he did a lot of good with that Raiders defense last year. And the first 2 weeks kind of had me going like, oh, maybe not. Maybe I was wrong. And I was really concerned, especially with some of his comments this week about playing Pat Mahomes and that. But yeah, give him credit today, man. He came out with a really, really good game plan for Pat Mahomes, and these guys were fired up, and this defense played really, really well. The defense definitely deserves the game ball for this, and the special teams, you know, for capitalizing on those miscues. But the Colts defense for sure gets the game ball for holding Pat Mahomes to 17 points.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, it is still us. You know, this doesn't cure all woes. Like this wasn't a spotless win by any means. Like the offensive line, it was still terrible at times. Like I know you and I both had tweets of like, how is this even real, basically. But I mean, just to stay consistent, there are still issues. Like this was a very Colt style win where they're going to go out and lose these first two games and then beat one of the best teams in the entire league. That's very on brand for them. So this doesn't cure everything. There are still issues to pay attention to moving forward, but man, for today, it's the 24-hour rule. You know, you got to celebrate this one for him. Again, like we mentioned, that offensive line was real shaky. Matt Ryan was under duress, like, all day. He still needs some better help up front. But for all of you guys out there, BetterHelp's got your back. Now we'll hear a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. If you guys are like me, you've probably got way too many irons in the fire at times, and you get overwhelmed. It's easy to feel like you're just drowning in tasks, and you just almost feel like giving up. Instead, it's obviously more beneficial to take one step at a time and focus on solutions. For me, I just try and start knocking out the smallest things one by one, and suddenly it doesn't seem so daunting. It can be tough to train your brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there's really no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, actually, making it a lot easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small.
Yeah, and guys, I've been pretty open about this. I've been to therapy in the past, not BetterHelp in particular, just not yet, but I have been to therapy in the past. And I do think there's this weird stigma when it comes to therapy that guys shouldn't go to it, or you're too good for therapy or something like that. But honestly, the main inspiration for me was just I needed something to kind of lift me through the day, lift me through those daunting tasks that Jake was talking about, and something to really be my safety net. And that's what BetterHelp can be for you guys. You know, the benefits of therapy far outweigh the negatives. You know, if you can just get yourself to a very comfortable level, be happy with yourself again, if that's therapy, if that's, you know, exercise, if that's the Colts winning, whatever you need to be, you're going to take advantage of that. And BetterHelp can really be that for a lot of you guys. So if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and switch therapists at any time. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOn today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOn. All right, let's talk about this offense, Jake, because there's some good stuff in there, yeah, kind of.
I think so. You know, in this one, obviously, you know, nothing runs smoothly if the offensive line isn't going well. But I at least think we saw some glimpses in this game of what the offense can look like when Ryan has some time. Now, I think they bought him a little more time later in the game, luckily, at least when it mattered the most. But you saw them taking advantage of some guys' strengths, which was good. You know, Michael Pittman Jr. over the middle of the field, his hands are like bear traps. Like,
yes,
he was really clutch. He's not going to get talked about enough in this one because other guys had really big plays. But Pittman Jr., this game probably doesn't happen without him, this win. Alec Pierce, you know, those deep sideline shots, contested 50-50 stuff. Jelani Woods using his athleticism and size to beat defenders. Like, this was a very telling performance of what things could look like. And of course, if the offensive line just is short up a little bit, Jonathan Taylor doesn't have to create all of his own yards, and he can get some creases to actually bust some bigger runs. But yeah, I was encouraged just because, you know, if you stay optimistic that the offensive line can have some improvement, then this could be a decent offense.
I don't want to say hot take, but honestly, right now, who would have thought into week three, I really don't think the pass catchers are an issue with the Colts. Like, when they're all healthy. Yeah. Obviously, we saw last week there were some issues without Alec Pierce and Michael Pittman Jr. But with these guys all healthy, I don't think there's been many issues with the pass catchers. I mean, even week one against the Texans, the pass catchers were really not an issue for most of that game. You know, there were obviously Alec Pierce had that drop in week one, but I think the pass catchers are looking pretty good. I mean, Paris Campbell's decoy a lot, but he's doing his job. Made a couple of nice catches today. Michael Pittman Jr. did his thing. Alec Pierce looked awesome. In every opportunity he had today, he looked really, really good. So I was really, really impressed with Alec Pierce. Ashton Doolin, obviously, on his one catch, had a nice little catch. Kylan Granson had a nice one that was nearly a first down, too, late in the game. Jelani Woods had the two touchdowns. I really think these pass catchers, you know, I'm not going to come out here and say that they're the best group in the league now or these guys are awesome, but I really think they're winnable pass catchers. I think they're perfectly fine, and they've been playing pretty well. I think this was just a really solid game from all the pass catchers, and they're definitely not the issue of this offense right now. So when you mention a lot of those, like, receiving threats, I do think a lot of those guys played really well. And they're really solidifying themselves and their roles in this offense as of right now.
Yeah, totally agree. Like, it's again, Matt Ryan showed he can work with those guys. Like, right, if they just get some separation, and I thought that Jelani Woods, the second touchdown, was a perfect example of it. He hit Woods coming. The ball was already out of his hands as Woods was coming out of his break. He led him perfectly where only Woods could get it. And, like, that's just the kind of stuff. And that comes with trust, too. Ryan talked a lot about that after the game. Was he's getting a lot of trust in these guys. And in my opinion, something that can kind of propel development is confidence boosting games like this. It just allows you to play more free and confident, and your mindset is closer to where it was when you were a star in college. You know, at the end of the day, it's a game of football. Sure, there's a lot of stuff to absorb and take in, but I think a day like this will go a long way towards helping Pierce and Woods continue to become bigger parts of the offense, because they haven't been so far. Like, Pierce had two targets in that first game, obviously missed last week, but both of these guys caught their first passes of their career today, and pretty big showing. So,
yeah. And then I'll touch on running backs real quick. I thought the running backs were fine for what they were given today. Taylor really didn't have much room to run at all. Hines had a couple nice catches, did his thing. You know, he was a nice little outlet. I thought that was fine. But the two things we really got to talk about, the offensive line and Matt Ryan. So let's start with Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. I would say mostly positive day for Matt Ryan. There are some issues I still think with him, because when it comes to pass protection, because the way the Colts are getting beat in pass pro, it's really not like outside of Danny Pinter versus Chris Jones, which we knew was going to be a disaster, but it's not really guys just getting bested or like getting beat one-on-one. It's just simple miscommunications that are things that you would learn in like high school football. Like you had guys lining up, mugging the A gap and just not getting blocked. And I do think the quarterback bears some responsibility for that. The center bears responsibility, the O-line coach bears responsibility, and all the guys up front. You know, so I'm not going to say Matt Ryan is blameless for this. And there are some of these plays where there is a free rusher and he's not IDing that free rusher and he's getting hit. So I do think that he is part of these protection issues. And also that second fumble that he had was 100% on him. You got to feel the guy coming from behind there. You know, you can't be that loose with the ball while you're rolling out of the pocket. It was a mind-numbingly bad mistake that led to points for the Chiefs. And that's something that we hope that the Colts will be getting away from with Matt Ryan. We get away from the dumb mistakes and get into more efficient football. Now, getting to the positives, though, I thought he looked pretty good today. You know, he had a couple misses. Obviously, there was the big miss to Johnny Woods over the middle that I remember was kind of happening in like third quarter, a couple misses outside. But when the Colts needed him to go down there and make a couple big throws, I mean, he had a really nice throw outside the numbers to Alec Pierce. And then obviously the game winning touchdown to Jelani Woods. And he was doing that while getting lit up, you know, every single one of those plays, he was getting crushed. So, I mean, it was a really good performance down the stretch. And I'm glad that he had the chance to go down there and win the game for the Colts. So this game would probably be like a B for me, for Matt Ryan, you know, like a B+. I think he turned around there late, but it was, again, still kind of ugly for a lot of that game with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, it was. And I'm glad you mentioned the fumble thing, because he does a lot of things well. And overall, he does not concern me. But I wrote after the game that the fumbles are becoming a concern. It's 7 through 3 games.
Right. That and now three of those are QB center exchanges, and we don't know who really made the flop there.
And that stuff has been cleaned up so far, but still, it seems like almost every time he gets sacked when he's not expecting it, it's a fumble, and that could become a big issue. But at the end of the day, clean up the pass protection and that won't be as big of an issue. That's the bigger problem. O-line.
Man, this O-line looked terrible today. I mean, just downright dreadful for the entire game.
Yeah.
It wasn't just stunts.
Not named Quentin Nelson, pretty much.
Yeah, and it wasn't just stunts. Like we said all week, just call a stunt and you'll get pressure. I mean, it's literally like they'll have 4-on-4 and guys will just not pick up the guy in front of them. Or they'll just horrible communication, horrible blitz. I mean, anytime there was a blitz, there was one or two free rushers hitting Matt Ryan.
Oh, yeah. If they brought an extra guy, they were getting there.
Yeah. So I posed this during the game. I don't know if you have to fire Chris Strasser, if you have to give protection calls to Matt Ryan or take him away from Matt. I don't know who's making the protection calls right now. But whoever's making those calls probably needs to get those taken away. If it's Matt Ryan or Ryan Kelly, whoever it is making the protection calls, like, you got to take it away from them at this point, because this is downright dreadful, the way that these protection calls are going. And honestly, yeah, I mean, it's not just bad in pass pro. It's not just bad in run blocking. It's bad all around on this offensive line. Everything looks ugly and just messy. And, you know, luckily it was just Chris Jones that they were playing against today. That was like a really tough pass rusher. But next week they got Danico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons with the Titans. It's going to be even worse. So I don't know, man. They really got to figure this out. I don't know if the answer is putting Will Fries at right guard, putting Bernard Ryman at left tackle. moving Braden Smith to right guard and putting Dennis Kelly at right tackle. I don't know. They have a lot of issues right now, and I don't know what the easy fix is. But this offensive line, for how much it's getting paid, is an abject disaster.
Yeah, that's no doubt. I was actually, I was anger searching earlier on Spotrac, and so Braden Smith is the 14th highest paid tackle in the NFL. Obviously, a lot of guys ahead of him are going to be left tackles. They get the handsome deals. And Ryan Kelly is the second highest paid center, and these are based on guaranteed money. That's, dude, you got to perform if that much money is being tied into you. And it's like, you're talking about what changes need to be made. There's a lot of stuff on here that's player based, of course, but at the end of the day, all these communication issues and stupid mental mistakes, like, that's got to come back to coaching. And you were wondering about who's making protection calls. I know for the longest time, and I assume it's still the case, it's Ryan Kelly. He's an enormous part of the protection plan throughout the entire week, working with the quarterback and the coaches. So I assume it's still him.
Yeah, from my understanding, it was Philip Rivers' year. Philip Rivers did almost all the protection calls. Kelly,
which makes sense because they didn't have a lot of time together previously,
right? And Kelly was obviously in part of that. And then last year, my understanding was it was always Kelly instead of Wentz. I just don't know if they've changed that with Matt Ryan this year. I'm not too sure. Maybe that's not a question for a reporter to ask Frank Reich next time, like sometime this week. That would actually be an amazing question that a media person could ask Frank Reich, is like those protection miscues, like who's making those calls or how are those falling apart? But yeah, that's really all we got really for offense. I mean, the offensive line needs to get better, and I think we'll see running backs and pass catchers and quarterback play increase if that offensive line can at least be mediocre, which it has not been this year.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a tough one. I know we're going kind of long on offense, but when Bernard Raimann gets back into practice, I think you got to throw him back in there. Like, you're going to have to do some sort of shuffling somewhere, and it probably starts with right guard if you're looking at a positional change. But yeah, I think you get Raimann in there, whether it's left tackle and then you throw Pryor at right guard or whatever it is, something's got to change.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. But coming up, guys, we're going to talk some defense. So all positive coming up here. So, all right, that's where we're going to put an ad when you guys are are listening to it there.
That's showbiz, baby.
We're doing it live. But no, talking about this defense, man, I was so impressed with everything. Where do you want to start here with this defense, Jake? I really was impressed everywhere.
I was going to throw in some stats. They held Kansas City to 3 of 10 on third down, which that's terrific. Other teams have had some success getting the Colts on fourth downs, but they were only, the Chiefs were only 1 of 2 on fourth down and 2 of 4 in the red zone. And considering you've got Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, a pass catching back like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you could have won in those situations, but the Colts held strong in like every facet. It seemed like, again, we talked about the pass rush was awesome. Bobby Okereke, I thought, played really well. Zaire Franklin played good against the run. Actually, against the run, they totally snuffed out.
Yeah, another thing right here, 38% pressure rate today against Mahomes.
Yeah, unreal. Just had him running all the time, just like in the Super Bowl against the 49ers almost. Right. But no, they totally made them one-dimensional, and in that passing game, they kept Mahomes on his heels. So kudos all around. Shoot.
Yeah, no, I want to put this thing back up here from Ozai75. Just a great comment. 38% pressure rate to Mahomes. I put this on social media where I think this was the best pass rushing performance I've seen from a Colts defense since 2020. Maybe since like the Lions game in 2020 or something like that. Like, this was just phenomenal all around from the pass rush. And again, it wasn't constant sacks, but it was constantly getting Mahomes off his spot. And I know Pat Mahomes loves to run around like a chicken with his head cut off back there and make some crazy plays. But anytime you can force a quarterback off their spot and make them make throws on the run, even the best in the world at doing it, it's going to be a level of discomfort. And the same goes to Pat Mahomes. So I really think this pass rush was the star of the game for this defense. I mean, they were outstanding. And like you said, also just to keep throwing more stuff to this defensive line, going into this game, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was leading the NFL, I think, in 7.7 yards per rush through the first 2 weeks. This game alone, he had 7 carries for 0 yards.
Goose egg.
and a touchdown. He did score his touchdown, but seven rushes, 0 yards.
That was late Jerome Bettis numbers. Right. His final days at the Steelers, he'd have like five carries for 1 yard and two touchdowns.
Right, right. So I just hats off to this Colts defensive line. And I know I'm going to be rambling here, but these Colts linebackers as well. I mean, the linebackers were dreadful the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were terrible. But Bobby Okereke has really stepped it up. He stepped it up late last game too, and he kind of carried that into this one. But Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed, they both looked really, really strong in coverage, which is a first this year. Both those guys have struggled in coverage early in the season, but they both look like different players in coverage. They look confident in their reads. And I think it was because they were getting back to more cover two, cover four type stuff. But good game plan, good performance from the defensive line, good linebacker play. I mean, I really can't say enough about this defense. I was really impressed. And that's, again, with Julian Blackmon leaving early in the game, with Stephon Gilmore leaving for parts of the game, and with no Shaquille Leonard. And this defense looked really good against one of the better teams in all of football. So just awesome. Just an awesome performance. I'm so impressed with this defense and Gus Bradley and all the players after what they had done the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, that leads me to my next point you just were talking about. You know, Patrick Mahomes, you obviously want to be at full strength, but, you know, they made a substitution for, you know, Nick Cross didn't really play with them doing more too high stuff. It was Rodney McLeod and Julian Blackmon. Blackmon goes down. You put a seventh-round rookie in there and Rodney Thomas. He did really, really well, we mentioned, at corner. They finally put Isaiah Rodgers in there. And then it just so happens they needed him for a stretch because Gilmore went out briefly with the hamstring, which with a hamstring, I almost always assume they're going to be out the rest of the game. But,
right.
I mean, applause to Gilmore for coming back for that. Hopefully it wasn't really anything. But, no, man, this was a next man up, like everyone did their job type of game. I was thoroughly impressed all the way around, all three levels.
Yep. And we also got to talk about Rodney McLeod again, because I really thought Rodney McLeod was great. And to point this comment out, Nick Cross didn't really play too much in this one. I don't even know if he logged a defensive snap. I don't remember seeing him out there.
So, I didn't notice him.
Yeah. So I don't think he was out there. But the game plan was more to have the experienced Rodney McLeod who can kind of play the deep and box role. So they were kind of rolling him around a lot on the defense and using him all over the place. And it really worked. Rodney McLeod had a strong, strong game. And this was kind of what the team needed in this one. So I think Nick Cross will be fine in the future. He needs to get some more experience before you throw him into the fire against a team like this. But getting a guy like Rodney McLeod this offseason was a huge, huge signing. And you could just see it in this game. I mean, he was great. And the game ending interception was obviously just an exclamation point on that. But no, I mean, this defense, man. I know I keep saying it, but Stephon Gilmore too. I want to highlight him because we talked a lot the first 2 weeks where he was playing pretty well. Obviously, he made some mistakes in that second game when he was in coverage against tight ends and stuff like that. It's a tough call for anyone. Evan Engram is a freaky, freaky tight end. So it was kind of a tough assignment for him in week two, but he didn't look as good in week two as he did in week one. He bounced back pretty well today. You know, there were a couple mistakes. There were a couple times he did get beat for catches, but that game-ending interception, I mean, that was his play through and through. Just an outstanding play, played right through the hands, knocked it up in the air to Rodney McLeod to get that pick. And he also had a really nice tackle on third down on Travis Kelce early in the game too. So, like I said, man, the stars came to play on defense, and this is the first time that they actually came to play in this one. And we saw what this defense was capable. You know, all offseason, people saying that Gus Bradley could take this defense to top 10, top five, you know, whatever. And even without them really forcing the turnovers today, like they still didn't really force as many turnovers like what they did last year. They really, really were all over the place and they had a really strong game. They looked like that top five, that top 10 defense today. So if they could keep this going, this defense, man, and then get Shaquille Leonard back into there, maybe they could be that top five, top 10 defense. I'm again, really, really impressed by everything the defense did.
Yeah, no doubt. And someone we can't end the show without acknowledging is Kylan Granson on special teams, man.
Yeah, so, special teams, of course, Kylan Granson.
Yeah, so he went down. He's the one that recovered that first fumbled punt by the Chiefs that the Colts then turned into a touchdown. Yep. And he also, Matt Hawk had a beautiful punt, and I think they got it down at the 1 yard line when it was Granson that was right there for it. So he had a nice play or two on offense, came up with a catch that a lot of people probably thought he wouldn't have because it was a difficult catch. but no, it was special. It was a good special teams day for him particularly as well.
Yeah. No, good special teams day in general. I mean, obviously a lot of luck played into that with some muffs and the stupid fake field goal call, but good special teams day. Again, they bounced back when they had not had good special teams days the last 2 weeks.
Mm, yeah, no doubt. Well, shoot, you got anything else on this one? I mean, well, obviously we're going to talk all more about it tomorrow.
Nope, we're feeling good. We're feeling good,
very
man.
Very good, yeah. Well, yep, that's it for us then, everybody. We'll be back with you. I mean, this will be Monday show still, but we'll be back with you Tuesday morning then. We'll keep breaking down this game. We're going to talk to more people, digest more info about it, and tell you the real skinny on this one, on how this one went down.
Yes, sir. Follow at Jake Arthur NFL on Twitter, at Zach Hicks 2, and at Locked On Colts, all on Twitter. Also, subscribe to the show on YouTube, Locked On Colts on YouTube, and wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks again for making Locked On Colts your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys Monday. Tuesday. We'll see you guys Tuesday.
Yeah, I got to get off here because I have a sinking feeling that I got locked in this room. So we'll see.